Go back to the book of Acts chapter 13 tonight, the book of Acts chapter 13. I'm going to continue with this thought I began this morning on give audience out of verse number 16 when the Apostle Paul was given the opportunity to speak in that synagogue on that day. He took advantage of the opportunity, remember, and he stood to his feet and he beckoned with his hand and he began to preach his first message that's recorded. And we're looking at this thought of give audience. That's what he said to this crowd before he ever began his message in verse 17. In verse 16, he said, give audience. Those words mean hear me, understand what I'm saying, and determine that it's going to change your life. That's basically what he's saying here. Now let's pray together, and I'm coming down to point number three. As we're studying the message that Paul preached. Let's pray together. Father, bless this time. Thank you that we can have a good time in Jesus Christ. And I pray now as we continue to study this message that you'll be well pleased with us. May we rightly divide the word of truth tonight and challenge us from the word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at this chapter here, beginning in verse 13, going down through the last part of the chapter, verse 52. And we're just bringing out different things in these verses that we should give audience to tonight. In other words, things that we ought to understand, things that we need to listen to and allow to change our life. Remember, number one, we studied this morning, that we are to give audience to the departure of John. That even when John Mark leaves, that doesn't mean that you have to. Number two, we learned that we ought to give audience to the opportunity that Paul was given. That when he's given the opportunity to share the gospel, he stood to his feet and he took advantage of it. Now, we're studying now the message that Paul preached. This is number three, and we're looking at this message in detail. First of all, this morning we looked at it that it was full of Scripture. Secondly, it pointed to Jesus. And this is where we're at here tonight. First of all, this morning, it pointed to the identity of Jesus. Secondly, I preached on this morning, it pointed to the availability of Jesus, that he's available for Jews and Gentiles alike. Now we begin our study tonight with the third way that it pointed to Jesus Christ. This message that Paul preached pointed to Jesus. It pointed to his availability. It pointed to his identity. Number three, this is under this point here, it pointed to his rejection and his death. We see this in verse 27. Look at it with me. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. There he is preaching the rejection and the death of Jesus Christ. See, Paul tells these people in this message how Jesus Christ, the salvation, remember, the one that John didn't feel worthy to unloose his shoe, the one that we have forgiveness of sin, and the one that we're justified through, he goes on to tell them that he was rejected and he was crucified, and yet all of that just fulfilled the scripture that they read in their hearing every Sabbath day. See, in spite of all the evidence, here's what Paul was saying, in spite of all the evidence, he was rejected by the religious leaders of that day. One man put it this way, there was no excuse. The many Old Testament prophecies that spoke of Christ were read systematically in the synagogues week after week. They knew what the scripture said about his ancestry. They had only to check the temple records to see that he was indeed the son of David. That's all they had to do is check it. They knew what the prophet said about his birth at Bethlehem. They knew what Malachi had said about a forerunner. They knew that Messiah would minister in Galilee. They knew that the Spirit would be given without measure to him. They knew that he would ride in triumph into Jerusalem. And even more serious, they knew what Daniel had said about him being cut off in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. They could even work out the very date, if they would work at it, of the date that he would be born. They knew Isaiah 53. They knew Psalm 22. They knew Psalm 69. They knew Zechariah 12:10. They knew Zechariah 13:6-7. They knew he was to be sold for 30 pieces of silver. They knew that the blood money would be used to buy a potter's field. They knew he'd be led as a sheep to the slaughter, that his hands and feet would be pierced, that he would be mocked and given vinegar to drink. The Jews themselves had actually fulfilled those prophecies and other pointed prophecies right here regarding the death of the Messiah. They had ignorantly fulfilled the prophecies that they knew by heart. They knew that these things would happen to Messiah, and they're the ones that did it to him. This man goes on to say, truly their ignorance was culpable ignorance. I mean, it's blamable. It's without excuse. The point is Paul preached Christ that day crucified. He preached him rejected of men. Now, folks, listen to me. That is part of the gospel message. You cannot deny or skip over the rejection and death of Christ and lead somebody to Christ. You can't do it. You can't do it. By the way, what is Paul trying to do here? They said, if you men have anything to say, stand up and say it. Paul stands up, beckons with his hand. He wants complete silence. He says, give audience to this. Jesus Christ is the one you're looking for. He's the Savior. He is salvation. He is your forgiveness. He's your justification. He's the one that John didn't feel worthy to unloose his shoe. He's the one. He's the one. He's available to Jews and Gentiles. And let me tell you something. You crucified him. Folks, God give us boldness like that today. I mean, he's preaching the rejection and the crucifixion, the death of Jesus Christ. That's another thing that pointed his message, pointed people to Jesus. What it pointed to? It pointed to his identity, who he is. It pointed to his availability, that he's for Jew and Gentile alike. It pointed to his death. Number four, it pointed to his resurrection. We see this in verse 30. Notice the language now. The Bible says, but God raised him from the dead. That's where it's okay to say, amen, glory to God, praise the Lord. Right there it is. Verse 31. He was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. We declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it's also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another Psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. Look here. Why would Paul bring up David? Let me tell you why. Because according to my study, people were trying to say that prophecy, that thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption, they were trying to teach that prophecy was talking about David. And yet, here Paul goes on and says, but David, after he served his own generation, he fell asleep, was laid unto his fathers, and he saw corruption. Notice what he says, verse 37, but he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Do you see what he's doing here? He's saying this to these people. He's saying he is the crucified Savior, but he's the one that saw no corruption. He's the one that the psalmist talked about. He's the one that this psalm talked about. And it wasn't talking about David because he saw corruption, but it's talking about this Messiah, this Savior, this Jesus who died, was buried, but God raised him from the dead. Now, folks, I'm telling you tonight that Paul attests to the fact that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. I like what one man said. He said, first, the resurrection is the great pillar of the gospel. Paul spends more time on the resurrection truth in this message than he does any other truth. This emphasis underscores the fact that without the resurrection, the validity of the gospel is gone. That's number one. He spoke more about it than he did anything else in this message. Secondly, the resurrection is abundantly attested to. It has evidence. In verse 31, he talks about many, many, many. This word many underscores the truth that our faith is supported by a great amount of evidence. No one has the evidence like Christianity. Did you know that? No one has the evidence like Christianity. The Bible says he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, Acts chapter 1, verse number 3. And this is another testimony to that fact. We who build our hope of salvation on Jesus Christ are putting our trust on the most authenticated and proven religious creed anywhere. That's secondly. He preaches thirdly about the resurrection, and it is joyful news. It is glad news. This is found in verses 32 and 33. He calls it glad tidings. That right there is the words. In other words, glad tidings is translated from one word from which we get the word evangel or evangelist or evangelize or evangelical. Right here, the gospel is the best news in the world, and it's the news that God kept his word and raised up Jesus from the dead, thus proving that that is the way of salvation. Get this, without the resurrection in our theology, we have no message that will bring lasting joy to people. Without the resurrection, we are still condemned on our way to hell. May I say this to you tonight? Thank God for the birth of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the life of Jesus Christ. He fulfilled all the law. He was the perfect, spotless, sinless Lamb of God. Thank God for the rejection of Christ. Thank God for the crucifixion of Christ. But his death, get it now, will not save you by itself. Thank God the tomb is empty tonight. Thank God that it's empty, no corruption. He never saw corruption. This is a vital part of the message of salvation. Then fourth, the resurrection is supported by Scripture. We talked about this earlier this morning, but this is just another way. Paul quotes from three Old Testament Scriptures to support the resurrection. He quotes from Psalm 2:7. He quotes from Isaiah 55:3. And he quotes from Psalm 16:10. Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 24 says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." I mean, it wasn't even possible for the Son of God to stay dead. Amen tonight. I'm telling you, this is one of the fundamentals of our faith. The Bible teaches in Romans 1, 3 and 4 concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of Abraham, was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, get it, by the resurrection from the dead. I found a story in my study about Martin Luther. And it says Martin Luther came to a time in his life when he needed unusual strength. He was sitting at a table with a friend. And this friend saw him tracing something on a cloth with his finger. So he was looking at what he was tracing. And what he was tracing were the words, vivid. That's what he was tracing. He needed strength, and he was tracing with his finger, vivid. I'm not speaking in tongues, but vivid. Translated, you know what it means? He liveth. He liveth. He liveth. He liveth. You get the idea? I'm telling you tonight that this is what we need. He is our hope. Men come and go, but He abides. They die, but He lives. Their lights shine for a while, but He shines forevermore. Tonight, we're looking at Him. Paul is pointing these people to Jesus. His message is pointing directly to Jesus Christ. And he's showing them who He is, His identity. He's showing them His availability, that He is for both Jew and Gentile. He's showing them that He was rejected and He died. He's showing them that He did not stay dead, but He rose from the dead. Then another thing he pointed to Jesus Christ was His distinction. We see this in verse 38 and 39. Notice what Paul says. He says, "Be it known unto you," verse 38, "therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." Paul told these people right here that it is through this man that forgiveness of sins is preached, and it is by this man that all that believe are justified from all things. He was letting them know that this is the only way they could have their sins forgiven. He was letting them know that it's only by Jesus, only Jesus, that you can be forgiven and be justified before God. This shows the Lord Jesus Christ is the one and only way to heaven. He is distinct. He is very distinct in that there is nowhere else that you can find peace with God except through the Savior Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts 4:10-12, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, but that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone," talking about Christ, "He is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You ever had, listen, you ever heard this? All roads lead to heaven. You ever heard that? Maybe you deal with somebody who says, "Well, you have your beliefs, I have my beliefs. They all end at the same place." On that, friends. That's ridiculous. That is not Bible. You will not find that in the Word of God. Right here, Paul once again makes it so clear that this Savior, this one that John did not feel worthy to unloose his shoe, this one who is salvation, this one who brings forgiveness, this one who brings justification is the only one you'll find it in. Amen. Now, folks, don't get over that. You know, we hear that so often, it's like, "Well, oh, I've heard that." You know, one thing, it's one thing to hear it, it's another thing to receive it. And if you've received it, don't ever get over it. Because that means you have eternal life. Jesus Christ lives inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit of God, and you have the one and only way to heaven. Now, folks, that's enough to be excited about tonight. Let me give you a final thing tonight. Not only do we see that this message, we're looking at this message of Paul, it was full of Scripture. It pointed to Jesus. It pointed to His identity, who He is. It pointed to His availability, it's for Jews and Gentiles. It pointed to His rejection and death. It pointed to His resurrection. It pointed to His distinction. So number one, we see that His message here, again, was full of Scripture. Number two, it pointed to Jesus. And number three, here's the third thing about His message. It warned the listeners of rejecting Jesus Christ. He warned them. Let me ask you a question. Is it good to tell people that Jesus Christ is God's salvation? Yes? Yes. Is it good to tell them that He died? for them? Yes. Is it good to tell them that he rose again? Yes. Is it good to tell them that he's available to anybody, no matter who they are? Is it good to tell them that he's the only way that they can have this? Yes, but it doesn't stop there. It is also good when you get to the where you're drawing the net and you're getting ready to tell them and ask them to trust Christ, it's also good to look them right in the eyeballs and say, listen, don't play with the judgment of God. It's not popular today. Everything's okay until you get to that point. Don't tell Paul that. Because when Paul came to the end of his message, look at verse number 40, it says, beware therefore. Do you see it? Beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. When I was studying this, I didn't fully understand it, but as I studied it, I got it. All Paul is doing here is saying this, I've told you the truth. Now you beware if you don't heed it. You beware. You be warned. If you say no, what the prophet said, you will experience. Wow. We've seen how Paul's message pointed to Jesus and how he's the one and only Savior. Now he turns his message to a message of warning the listeners of the danger of rejecting Jesus Christ. In this, we see him applying his message to his hearers, pressing for a decision. Can I put it this way? He's starting to draw the net here. He's starting to bring it to their face. He's been giving them the gospel. Yes, here he is, here he is, here he is. Now he says, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? And be warned if you don't do the right thing with it. The point here is Paul's not only preaching to them the good news, but he's sounding a warning of the bad news if they reject the Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, the gospel presentation is to include both. It's to include the love of Christ, the love of God, and how Jesus Christ died to save them, to forgive their sin, and to make them just in the eyes of God. Hey, the world needs to hear that, no question about it. The world needs to hear that God loves them, that Jesus died for them. The world needs to hear that. But folks, there's something else the world needs to hear too. It's God's way or it's judgment. I didn't say my way or the highway. It's not my way, it's God's way. It's God's way or it's judgment. And Paul is teaching them and preaching to them the truth, and he says, I want to tell you something. Beware. Beware. Be warned. You know, I've got right here in my notes, let this truth grip our hearts. This truth, that those who reject Christ will suffer the judgment of Almighty God. That ought to grip us. They need to hear this message. And oh, may God burden our hearts for the lost. Now, folks, I'm just telling you, this is the book of Acts. God loves the world. He wants the world saved. He died to save the world. I'm telling you, he loves them. He died for them. Jesus Christ came. That's the love of God. Jesus Christ is the heart of God walking around on planet Earth. That's how much he loves you tonight. And that's how much he loves the world. But don't let us ever forget the flip side. If you'll listen to me, this will help you not give up on some of your loved ones. Are you listening? Are you listening to me? if they do not repent and turn to Jesus Christ, they will suffer the wrath of God. You may tell you what that's enough to do. Every one of us ought to fill our pockets with gospel tracts on our way out. Every one of us ought to go, and everywhere we see somebody, we ought to say, wait a minute, I wonder if that person has the wrath of God on them. Hey, but for the grace of God, that's me tonight. But for the grace of God, that's you tonight. Can't you see how it must break? And listen, I'm cut. I'm convicted. God knows my heart. I'm not the soul winner I ought to be. I walk over people, miss people. God's speaking to me and say, yeah, you're preaching it. Live it, son. Amen. I say amen, God. I'm guilty. How it must break the heart of God. How it must break the heart of God to watch His children just go through week after week, week after week, week after week, walking past that opportunity and that opportunity and that opportunity and that opportunity and that opportunity, and never once open their mouth to tell somebody about Jesus. By the way, aren't you glad somebody opened their mouth and told you about Him? Amen. Amen. And that's why God left us here. You say, Jody, what's your heart? What's the heart of the pastor? Is it not obvious? If it's not obvious, I'm not doing my job. Every one of you, I hope, somebody said, what's the heart of the pastor? It is to win people to Jesus Christ. That's the heart of the pastor you have. That's the heart God's given me. And I thank God for it. And I'm telling you tonight, this is serious business. Paul standing and beckoning. Do you see? He walks into that synagogue. I'm starting to come down for a close. I'm starting, okay? But my plane is very, very, it just goes down just like a foot of time, okay? I'm starting to come down here. Imagine him walking into that synagogue. Wouldn't you like to have been there? Jews and Gentiles in that synagogue. Here comes the Apostle Paul. Sits down. I know why he's there, don't you? Boy, I hope they ask me to speak. Boy, I hope they give me that opportunity. He knew that that was the custom in that day. And they knew by looking at him, that's a teacher. And here it is. God gave it to him. They read. They get to the time of the service and they say, okay, men, I recognize you here. If you want to say anything, go ahead. Paul, boing, raises his hand, beckons with his hand. Shh, 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 shh. God has sent salvation. It's not John the Baptist. It's the one John said he's not worthy to stoop down and unloose his shoe. And unto you Jews and Gentiles, it's the salvation from God. And if you trust Him, He'll forgive your sin and make you just in His eyes. He's the one that you read about week after week after week after week. He's the one your rulers crucified. But God raised him from the dead. And now he wants to save you and change your life. He's available to the Jews who are here. He's available to the Gentiles who are here. He wants the world to be saved. And he's the only way you can have these things. Look here, please. What are you going to do with him? Beware. If you say no, with the power of the Holy Spirit upon that message, wow. Now I ask you a question. When's the last time you gave that message to somebody else? That's convicting. When's the last time God gave you an opportunity and you seized it? And you gave a gospel tract, you shared your faith, you tried to win somebody to Christ, and you see tonight, even somebody that's been a hard case, You may have their mind, their face in your mind right now, and God's saying, wait a minute, don't give up on them. Because they're headed for hell. They're headed for judgment. And they need somebody to warn them. If God can save Saul, God can save whoever you're thinking of right now. Amen. So my altar call tonight is to sound a warning as we're preparing for the altar call, if you wouldn't mind. I'm sounding the same warning tonight. What will you do with Jesus? Could it be that somebody's in our service tonight that you've never trusted Him? You may have been coming to this church for years. You may be a teenager that's been playing games, and you know it. I'm not trying to get you to doubt. I'm just trying to get you to have an exclamation point. I'm not in the business of trying to spread doubt. I'm trying to spread assurance. Amen. Do you know you're saved? Do you know you're born again? Do you know that you will never suffer the wrath of God? If you say, yes, boy, I've been delivered from the wrath of God. Hey, you ought to have peace in your heart. Amen. If you can't say that, you can before you leave. Isn't that a great thing? Two men come in here today on their way to hell. If they meant what they did, God saved them, and they're on their way to heaven now. It'd be great if that happened again tonight. But no doubt a majority, maybe all here tonight, know Jesus. When's the last time you seized the opportunity and shared your faith? Look here, please. Phooey on this. That was a fine message. That's a good message. I didn't understand a word of that. Phooey on all of that. I don't care. It's time we stop getting convicted about it, ask God to forgive us. It's time we stop doing that and leaving the same way we came in. It's time we get on our faces and say, thank you, God, for delivering me from the wrath of God. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me, forgiving me, justifying me. Now, God, give me your burden. I pray often, God, help me see people the way you see them. Help me see them like you do. I'm asking tonight, I'm trying to commit myself. Again, I need to be a better witness. Do you? And if you say yes, that doesn't mean all of you need to come up here with me. You can make an altar right there in your pew and say, God, forgive me. God, help me to give the gospel like I've never given it before. This is the book of Acts. What are we, halfway through? Almost? There's a lot more to come. May God help us with this. No question. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we, Father, take it and use it, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. Do you know Jesus? Have you done the right thing with Him? Have you trusted Him? If you're here tonight and you know that you're saved, you know you're born again, you know that, would you raise your hand? You know it, you know it. You don't hope so, you don't think so, you know so. Amen. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Anybody tonight could not raise your hand to that? Be honest. Would you raise it now? Anybody like that? I don't know that. But I sure wish I did. Then let me ask you this question. Christian, everybody can improve in this, no doubt about it. But all I'm asking tonight is, has God spoken to you? I'm not asking, can you improve? Because everybody can. I'm asking, has God put His finger on it? Has God burdened you tonight? Has God put something or somebody on your heart tonight? Have you been challenged tonight? Convicted tonight? If that you, be honest. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Yes, I'm challenged tonight. Boy, God spoke to me. Yes. Thank you. I hope if you didn't raise your hand, I hope that means that you're soul winning. Hope that means you're sharing your faith. Hope that means everything's good. I'm going to ask you if you raised your hand, or maybe you didn't, but you know you should have. I'm going to ask you, when I pray and say amen, Brother Gary begins to sing, would you get out of your place and come and pray? And ask God to seal this message on your heart. May we never get over it, ever. Father, take it and use it, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. As soon as he hits the first note, if God spoke to you and he wants you to come to the altar, you come on. Would you do it? Come now, please. As he sings, come right
Lord,
now.
Lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I faithfully do my part to win that soul for Thee.
Sing that same thing, Brother Gary. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Lord, lay some
very
soul
appropriate tonight
upon my
very appropriate
heart,
altar call song.
And love that soul through me. And may I faithfully do my part to win that soul for Thee.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Have you still seated tonight? Have a hard case. Somebody that's turned the back on the gospel, or maybe somebody that's just not very soft towards it, and you know that hey, listen, it's going to take a miracle. If you know somebody like that, would you raise your hand? You know somebody like that? If you raise your hand, I want you to lower it. I want you to look at me just a moment. Would you do that? I'm going to get up here on the platform. I don't mean to tarry here. I don't mean to linger here, but in a way I do. This last part of this message is for you. Listen to the warning that Paul gave. Beware. Beware. You know what that will do if you let it speak to your heart? That does not mean that they will trust Christ. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that their heart will ever change. It doesn't mean that. But I'll tell you what it'll do for you. It will cause you to forget yourself. And it'll help you have the boldness you need just to keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. Because if they're alive, there is hope. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Gary to sing this again, and I want to call on you to bring that person to the altar. I'm talking about in prayer. Now, some of you can't come to the altar, I get it. But if you can, I want to end tonight in prayer for these hard cases. Wouldn't it be great to see some of them, all of them, walk the aisle at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? It can happen. It can happen. Don't you give up on them. Don't you stop on them. Don't you listen to the devil. Ah, they're not going to listen to it. They'll just get mad at you. Let them get mad at you. All you're trying to do is stand in front of them to be a roadblock. You're on your way to a devil's hell. Why don't you get on your face and ask God to give you tears? And go to that person in tears and say, I love you. And I just want to warn you again, God loves you. Don't say no. You got it tonight? This is it. The Holy Spirit's leading me in that. So as Brother Gary sings, if you want to come, come. Come on. Come on now. As Brother Gary sings, get out of your seat. Bring
Lord,
these people to the altar. Come. Give it to God. Let God have it. Let God give you a burden like you've never had. I mean, let God give you a burden like you've never had before.
And and
to help you is to keep on giving the gospel. Keep on giving the gospel. Keep on warning. Keep on loving. Keep on challenging. Beg God to get a hold of their heart. No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
For thee.
Playing through softly. I'm going to ask our preacher. I'm going to ask him to come. He's going to dismiss us in prayer tonight, but I want you, preacher, lastly, if you wouldn't mind, to pray for these people that these folks are on their knees about. Some of them are loved ones, family members, maybe relatives, associates, co-workers. And as you pray, this is our closing prayer, but this is a somber time, a sobering time, when I ask our preacher to have mercy upon these loved ones. Keep the door of opportunity open. After this, we'll be dismissed.
Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would give us a broken heart. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Lord, our tears and our compassion can reach them many times, Lord, when our preachments can't. Lord, I pray that you'd give us a broken heart over our loved ones that's on their way to devil's hell, where we'll never see them anymore when we get to heaven. Lord, I pray that this burden will come on me, Lord, and all of us, that, Lord, the Holy Spirit may take our brokenness and our burden and our tears, and, Lord, speak to them. Help us, Lord, as a result of this commitment tonight, to see some loved ones saved. I pray the Holy Spirit will work around their heart, finger around their heart, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd show them their need and that Jesus loves them. And Lord, if they'll just open their heart and that they can and let Jesus come in, that he can save their never-dying soul. I pray the Holy, Lord, we can't do it. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit in their heart. And Lord, I pray by your Spirit you'd convict them. And may they, Lord, see Jesus as their only hope and turn to him. May we see many of our loved ones saved as a result of this burden you've put on our heart tonight. Holy Spirit of God, burden us to do your will and to be Spirit-filled witnesses, Lord, so we can see supernatural conversions, people turning to God through the Lord Jesus Christ and born of the Spirit. God, that's what we need. Help us, I beg you, in Jesus' name. Amen.